See, that's what I mean. It's not really acoustic what we do here. Okay. You can set them wherever you want. So I set this song in, it's a happy song. I sentenced myself to drink myself to death in the song. In a town in North Africa where I met my ex-wife. So it's all happy families. It's a former Spanish colony called Sea. Through the porthole sea. I would never leave this place alive. Record out. It's called Sunrise in the Land of Milk and Honey. And it's been pretty good for us. Got to number 13 on the AAA charts, non-com. It's a little joke. It's a little joke because that's a fairly narrow chart. It is number 34 on Amazon in rock right now, though, which is actually true. But we think that's also a lot of those orders are late at night, right after bars close. So it's like actually mistaken orders for Uncle Cracker, probably. But
I love that. Give me the beat, boys.
I'm sorry. We have a speak no ill clause, otherwise we could get really funny right now.
Yeah. Who originally wrote that song?
He should have let that go.
It's from a new record. It's a duet that I did with Patterson Hood in the singing part, anyway, on our new record. But it's a duet. See, it was originally on, some people called it a bromance. Okay, but Johnny actually wrote this song, and it's on his solo record actually before it was on the Cracker record. But it's not a duet. So, and he's having a bromance with himself on that record, so.
It's a little schizophrenic, yeah. So we changed it.
It's an omance, actually. Any biblical scholars out there?
Again,
allowed to apologize for my slightly wicked thoughts. Cause that's the kind of friend that you got.
Yeah, and if a fight breaks out, you're the cause of it. In some redneck bar where you've been talking shit, I would not forsake you later in that parking lot. Cause that's the kind of friend that you got. Well, through the laughter and the tears, we go stumbling through these years. A bit dysfunctional, folks might say.
Well, I got some dirt on you.
Hey, I got plenty on you too. So I pray we stay together all our days. Here we go. So when you're on a date and you finally bring that girl home, you put a little Captain Beefheart on the stereo and you disconnect the phone.
Then I'll show up drunk and raving, and then I'll pass out on the spot.
Cause that's the kind of friend that you got. Well, through the laughter and the tears, we go stumbling through these years. A bit dysfunctional, folks might say.
Well, I got that dirt on you.
Hey, I got plenty on you too. So I pray we stay together all our days. But you know, yeah, I pray we stay together all our days.
Thanks so much. So, a lot of times people, when we're playing a show, will shout something at you while you're playing. And my general rule is that I try not to pay attention to it, because generally, if the person doesn't realize that we're playing the song and it's very loud up here, and that we can't understand them, they're usually like sort of like mentally imbalanced or really wasted, okay? So we don't usually listen when people are shouting while we're playing. However, for instance, let me give you an example why. Because we were in the Fillmore one night in San Francisco, and somebody was standing right about there and was really emphatically shouting something at me. So when it got to the guitar solo, I just kind of walked to the front of the stage and I leaned down to hear what they had to say. And they said very clearly, "Anal probe!" So, which I just heard on Facebook is actually the new Freebird. It's actually to yell anal probe. But this was 5 or 6 years ago, and we're pretty trend forward in Cracker, so maybe we invented it. But anyway, so then I, you know, that was a bad experience. So one night we're playing in Santa Cruz, and it's an acoustic show like this, and we're in a place kind of like this. And I'm looking around, and I'm like, wow, there's actually kind of an old woman in the audience tonight. I know we're getting older, and I've got another story about that later. But I mean, like, somebody brought their grandmother to the show, like 75 years old plus, okay? And I thought, well, yeah, that's kind of cute. It's nice. Bring Granny to the show. Here's some cracker songs. Yeah. You're a trash girl. Don't fuck me up with peace and love. Yeah. Solve it. Anyway, so I'm playing, and she kind of goes to this magic spot here where people shout things at me. And she starts shouting while I'm playing the song, emphatically. So we get to a guitar solo, and I'm thinking to myself, it's like, it's somebody's grandmother. How bad can it be, right? So I lean down, and she says very clearly to me, play the song about the whore.
I was playing a guitar solo, and I heard it clearly.
Yeah.
I just stopped playing for a second.
Do you want to hear the second part of the story that happens in Germany? Okay, all right, you have to be patient then. This is for an advanced audience, okay? We tried it the other night in Madison. They weren't advanced. They failed, okay? So the second half of the story is that I told that story in Germany, and generally in Northern Europe, they speak a lot of English, and you get away with telling a story like that, and they understand it, right? But I told that story in Munster, which I believe is named after the cheese. And nobody laughed. I mean, in fact, there was no sound. The entire audience, it was crickets. I mean, crickets would have been loud, okay? There was no reaction. It kind of threw me off my game, so we stumbled into the next song. And I have a tendency to think a lot when I'm not singing, and it's usually like really bad stuff, like, you know, did I leave the lights on in the van? Did I lock the back door? Did I pay the electric bill before I left home for 6 months on tour? Things like this. So, but tonight, that night, while Johnny's playing the guitar solo, I'm thinking, God, man, I really offended these Germans. I guess I shouldn't have used the word whore, because it is kind of a harsh word, and in particular, it's kind of politically incorrect. And Germany's a very politically correct country, so they probably say something like sex worker. They probably have some word for it, right? And so that's what I'm thinking. So I'm pretty happy, and I start singing the next couple verses, and then comes a really big solo, as you will. And I start thinking again, and I go, well, maybe that's not it. Maybe, you know, Germans are known for being kind of bored about stuff. They get bored. They love being shown that they're bored. And probably in Germany, they must have a lot of songs about whores. And they're the old traditional songs with the large harmonicas and the accordions and the yodeling, those old traditional songs. So a woman of that age, of course she would be yelling for the song about the whore, because most of the old traditional German songs are songs about whores. So, this is feeling kind of good, and I'm thinking, well, maybe, and it's probably even, you know, these are probably well-loved songs. Everybody sings them. They sing them at the holidays, okay? They sing them in those Christmas markets that they have in Germany. I don't know if you've ever been to the Christmas markets. They actually have children sing the songs about whores in the Christmas market, and everybody sings along. Everybody knows the words to them and stuff like that. In fact, they sing these songs at a special time. It's right after, at the Christmas market, they select the most beloved and revered grandmother from the village or the town, and they elect her the Christmas whore. And then the children's choir sing these traditional German folk songs to the selected grandmother. Yeah. This is what I'm thinking. Makes sense to me. So a few nights later in Denmark, I tell the same story, including the German part. And the Danes are very good with the English, and they're also, I think, a little quicker than the Germans. And I get about 20 seconds into the German part of the story, and a Danish guy says, Germans have no humor! So, the moral of the story is that the simplest explanation is probably the truest explanation. from that show, okay? That's the moral of the story. And Occam's Razor, as someone pointed out here, yes, you're a very intellectual crowd here tonight, okay? That's very good. All right, that's a long story. So apparently somebody disagreed that Germans have no humor. I think actually Germans are funny, just inadvertently, okay? Going back to the grandmother in Santa Cruz, sorry, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, I know, we're running out of time. But after this whole episode happened, I managed to ask the grandmother, what? Did I hear you right? What song did you want to hear? She said, the song about the whore. And I was like, well, I don't even know if I know that one. She goes, you know, the whore in all the European cities. It's like, I know what song you're talking about.
She said, I sent you to college.
drinks at the Levee. Fourth soldier in track. Yeah, search world for my angel in black. Yeah, search world for a yellow trash girl. Yellow trash girl.
The devil will send demons.
carry me.
He's one of the guitarists in Built to Spill. He's a great guitarist. But he walked into our dressing room one time just staring at his cell phone. And he said, "Will we know when it's time to start dragging the rich and powerful from their cars?" So the only thing I could think of to tell him was that we would text him when it was time. We never text him, instead we wrote this song. It's called "Hey Brett, you know what time it is." Scratch out a living in this desert valley, hard living for any man. It were no Eden, it's cold as Sweden, like Hades in the summertime. We built the cities, we dug the ditches, we picked the fruit from the vine. Hey Brett, you know what time it is? Hey Brett, you know what time it is? Hey Brad, you know what time it is? You know what time it is? Hey Brad, you know what time it is? Skip forward four generations, comes a great blissful nation, but I'm living in the third. Trying to make a living playing on my SG Gibson tenant bar, sometimes selling her. We live like serfs in this new feudal land. We pay the bills, we fight the wars. I ain't no wobbly, no pink or commie. That's all the anthems right now. Hey Brad, you know what time it is? Hey Brad, you know what time it is? Hey Brad, you know what time it is? You know what time it is? Hey Brad, you know what time it is? You know what time it is, you know what time it is.
Thank you.
Family, and probably
Baby, don't you drive around with Dr. Bernice. She's not a lady doctor at all. She's got hands like a man with hair on her back. She'll crush you in an embrace. Though the wind may whisper, moan sometimes, we all need a kind place to live. Woo! Though the wind may whisper and howl at your door, we all need the comfort of friends. Yeah! Baby, don't you drive around with Dr. Bernice. That ain't a real Cadillac. It's a Delta 88, spray painted black, with fake leather seats from Juarez. Though the wind may whisper and moan sometimes, on a hot desert night it is still. And though the world may whisper and howl at your door, you're not obliged to let them all in. In that faux Cadillac, if you must, please ride in the back. If you sing while you ride, you'll be a siren tonight. Spare this poor sinner's life from the rocks. Though the wind may whisper melody now, we can't find a tune of our own. And though the world may whisper and blow in your face and tangle the hair on your head, on a hot desert night we can drive down the road and the stars will spell out your name. On a hot desert night with the windows down wide, the sirens will sing me their song. And the ghosts of the sailors who died on the rocks, they feel not a twinge of regret. Though the wind may tangle the hair on your head, you sing like a siren to me. A siren to me. You say like a siren to me. You say like a siren to me.
Yeah, deep inside this record.
and swamp. You calm us in our tiny boats.
This song we fortuitously wrote before Western Civilization collapsed and put it on our new record. And this is the song that sort of ended up being the single. And by the way, we'll be we'll be bartering for biofuel or feed corn tonight to get to the next gig. Turn on, tune in, drop out with me. Baby, you need a break, so let's just run away. I'm tired of Code and Pearl, and I'm tired of VBA. Maggie, throw your notebooks away. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. Now picture this. Shopping in town for a homemade agrarian fortress. Your texty Corey and granite atop kitchenette and your gun nest. Well, we find a little meadow high up in the Cascades. Baby, we won't ever come down. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. Turn on, tune in, drop out with me. The whole thing's coming down, so let's just get out of the way. Well, I'm not paranoid, there is no conspiracy, but I swear Big Brother's watching me. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. So you're serving appetites to the local survivalist militia. In camouflage and fight with the local steel car, you mortician. We will find the little meadow high up in the Cascades. Baby, we won't ever come down. Turn on, tune in, drop out, give up with me. Thank you very much.
Thomas Pynchon, I took the love story between the mathematician and the cipher girl at Bletchley Park. And this is all just random shit. Some of you might know what I'm talking about. And I put it to music. She serves him mashed potatoes, and she serves him peppered steak with corn. She pulls a dress up over her head, lets it fall to the floor. Does she ever whisper in his ear all the favorite fruit? And all the most exotic places they are cultivated, yeah.
Behind a green sugar. Fruit is resting on the vine. Fruit is calling from the trees. Hey, touch my head down. That's a junkie.
Taking my gun up to heaven, somebody just shouted that, right? Okay. I recently found myself answering a question. Somebody said, how is Iraq? And I said, man, I had a great time over there. That's a fairly bizarre thing to say. Recently, we had the honor of going to play for 2 weeks in Iraq for U.S. servicemen and women long over there. It's a long story how anti-wars, anti-cruise person ends up in Iraq, but we have this song that on the new record that a lot of soldiers like. We're not actually going to play that right now. It's no point to the story, right? There is actually a point to the story. The interesting thing that we found when we went to Iraq was that, well, first of all, I grew up on military bases, and so did Johnny. Both our parents were in the military, so it was not really that weird to us. Except when we went to Iraq, we expected to find all these young, like 19-year-old, sort of gung-ho, warrior, Oakley glasses-wearing kind of kids. And there were a lot of those kids there, too, but we were surprised, like, how many people were much closer to our age, because there's so many reserve and National Guard people there, right? So it wasn't at all odd that we'd land this helicopter at this base, and some colonel would come over to us and goes, "Are you going to play Eurotrash, Girl? Will you be playing any Camper Van Beethoven songs tonight?" Seriously. Pretty weird. So anyway, for instance, the first night we were there, a bunch of National Guard, it started out as a small group of National Guard guys said, "Hey, you won't believe this, but you know, we're all total Cracker fans, but we're actually shipping out, our plane leaves the same time that you guys are supposed to take the stage. Is there any way you can play a few songs for us?" We're like, "Well, yeah, we got sound checks, so we can always play 4 or 5 songs for you." So they ran back to the airstrip and they got their whole unit. So then now there's about 30 of these National Guard guys there. Anyway, so we played the songs for them. We took the photos, and soldiers have, in wartime, have this weird fetish. They give you their weapon and then they take a picture of you with their weapon, okay? I don't know, so that takes a while. So we did all of this. Meanwhile, there is one of these young, warrior-looking guys, totally pumped up with the Oakley sunglasses and stuff like that, probably like 18 or 19 years old. And he's sort of watching this whole scene unfold. Okay, you guys here? All right, because I fucking hate playing in bars when we do this for this reason. Anyway, there's this young soldier guy who is one of these young regular army guys, and he's like 19 or something like that. And after we get done with the National Guard guys, he goes, "Hey, are you guys the real Cracker?" "Yeah, we're the real Cracker. Not like Uncle Cracker, right?" "No, not Uncle Cracker." He says, "Dude, my parents are going to totally freak out when they find out that I saw Cracker in Iraq." So this, yes, that's the point of the story, is that we're getting older. And this proceeds to happen not once, but 3 times while we were over there. And then, even after I got back, the young man who drove the armored personnel carrier, I told him the story how often this was happening to us, and he was 19 or whatever. He came home on leave, and he writes on my Facebook, "Dude, you won't believe it, but I said I drove Cracker around in Iraq, and my parents freaked out." So it happened even after I got back, too. So. We do this song at Soundcheck a lot of times, but now we're going to do it just because I told that story. When I was 17, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights. We'd hide from the lights on the village green. When I was 17, when I was 21, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for big city girls who lived up the stairs. And all that perfumed hair, it came undone when I was 21. When I was 35, it was a very good year. It was a very good year for blue-blooded women of independent means. We'd ride in limousines, and their chauffeurs would drive when I was 35. Days are short. I'm in the September of my years, and I look back at my life like vintage wine from fine old kegs. And from the brim to the dregs, it poured sweet and clear. It was a very
Here we go.